listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 162. Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the technically the designated adult, but I've got questions. John Brownstone.
Hey, now.
You are always technically the designated adult. This week, we're talking about strength. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. And yes, it's always like this. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS number
Don't
one.
Don't be a hater.
Fucking hate that handle. Or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM. All links are in the show notes. A big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you, we love you, and thank you. If you'd like to access more content and just more of us and this thing we're doing, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as a dollar a month by going to patreon.com/KaylaLords. All of your support helps us do more, make more podcasts, make more weapons of mass destruction, write more blog posts, more. So if you're interested, just go to patreon.com/KaylaLords or check the show notes. We always have a link there. And if you usually listen to us on Spotify and haven't been able to do that this week, we know. And we're sorry. Apparently, Spotify removed our podcast. No notice, no explanation. They were blaming it on a change in licensing requirement. And that's thanks to Kenneth on Twitter, who found that out for us when he reached out to Spotify directly to complain. We do appreciate that. It's one thing to be the maker of the sex thing. We tend to get ignored because who cares about your dirty, dirty sex thing? But when an actual customer complains, they tend to pay a little bit more attention. So we are looking into it more.
Yeah.
Our podcast hosting system we use is through Blueberry. They're the ones that got us on Spotify or helped us get on Spotify. So maybe they can help us out, but we're not holding our breath. Feel free to complain to Spotify yourself if you are not able to access the show. And if one day you can and the next day you can't, feel free to let us know. But we will do our best to see what we can do. But yeah, we're not holding our breath. So until then, hopefully you can find us on your favorite podcast app. Or of course, you can always listen to the show directly through lovingbdsm.net. Or you can even watch a video of the show through YouTube.
Yeah.
So there are options, but we know Spotify is the preferred app for a lot of people, and we would like to be there too. So just so nobody ats us, nobody sends us, hopefully we'll reduce the amount of frantic emails.
Yes.
We know. So, okay. So we are gonna get in, let's get into the topic.
Okay, and away we go.
So let me get my script back up. I can't look at YouTube anymore. I have to look at my notes now. So the way this topic came up is the way some of our topics come up.
All right.
We were having a random conversation.
Yeah.
We were driving to the club to get our kink on.
Yes.
And I don't even remember how we got on the topic, but I do remember we both, I think you said it first, talked about how submissives are considered to be strong because they submit. And something about that sent me down a rabbit hole, and I went on a total rant.
Sent both of us down a rabbit hole, really.
It was one of those times where we actually totally agree, but the way we debate about it makes it sound like we don't. And I finally have to go, you know, we're saying the same thing, right? And he's like, yeah, we are. We are totally saying the same thing. But it's the idea, for me, the thing that came to mind when thinking about the sort of automatic assumption, again, by people who respect submissives that we're strong, is that what does that even necessarily mean? And I know for a fact that there are submissives out there who take on that idea that submission, you know, when you're a submissive, you're automatically strong, you automatically have some sort of inner strength, and they don't see themselves in it. And that bothers me because I do agree with the idea that in order to submit, you must have some level of strength, inner strength. And the reason is, and it's a reason I go back to over and over again, is that the moment outside of like a kinky, sexy thing that's turning you on, the moment you're told no, And you have to make that split decision of, I'm going to bend to that person's will, or I'm going to do what the fuck I want to do. It's a moment. It's a moment of reckoning of, is this relationship what I want? Is this who I am? Mm-hmm. And am I willing to do it? And some people, they slide right through that. They don't even blink. And some people struggle with it. And the first time you ever told me no about something, it had nothing to do with sex. It wasn't kinky. It wasn't sexy. It was a no, you're not doing that. That I had like a moment where I had to like talk to myself and go, wait, no, this is okay. I want this. I'm mad. I don't like this. But, and so, you know, we have, I think all of us come to, by the time we get to a point in BDSM and DS, whether mm-hmm. we're submissive or not, we have these ideas in our head of what we think it means. And sometimes that stands up to scrutiny and that stands up to real life. And sometimes it does not. and I think a lot of times when we have that picture in our head and then reality does not match it at all, some of us are inclined to think there's something wrong with us, or there's something wrong with, you know, we are not good enough, or the dynamic is not right for us, or whatever it might be. And I think that that can happen with this idea of submissives are always strong. At the same time, doms have their own stereotype trope about strength. Male dominance, you're the strong, silent type. He's that, you know, he's the wolf in waiting. He's the, like, pick a kind of a scary predatory animal who doesn't let you know they're about to attack, right? Like, that is a stereotype that a lot of male doms fall under. I cannot speak for femdoms because, one, I'm not one, and two, I don't get into these conversations enough with them to know, but I've got eyes and I'm paying attention. There's this idea that a lot of them are really fierce and almost angry. And I have met those people, and they do come across that way. And because that's their personality, or because that's the persona they put on, that's fine. But I've also met a femdom when we did the kinky craft market fair thing.
Yes.
And she was full of giggles and light. Like, she had a sadistic streak. She picked up the paddle and her eyes gleamed because she knew what she was going to do with it. But she wasn't the stereotype of this really fierce, frowning, kind of serious femdom.
She may have been a mommy.
Who knows what she was, but her whole persona came across as just bubbly and light and airy and just, oh my God, I was so drawn to her. I was like, I just want to be your friend because you were making me laugh when we are giggling over this paddle. And so there's the stereotype of what it means, what strength means. There's the reality of what strength means. And for me, and the conversation we got into was that there is so much more to strength. There are certain traits that we may or may not all possess are strengths when they're used in the right way, when they're used for the good of the relationship, when they're used in anything can be used in a negative way. Anything can become a detriment. And anything that is a strength can also be a weakness when the way that part of you manifests is not good for you, or is not good for other people around you, or whatever. But I wanted to explore this concept of what we mean when we're talking about strength. I think the other thing is, the thing that kind of really got me up in arms was because I was thinking about the submissives I know personally who would tell you that they're in no way strong, that they don't see that they have any inner strength, and that any strength they have comes directly from their dominant.
Well, my perspective on this, I would have to say, And this applies even to me, because I know this is sometimes my problem. We can be our own worst critics.
Oh, always. Absolutely.
And in ourselves, for many people, it is hard to see what we offer, what we have.
Absolutely. I agree completely.
It's a difficult thing. Yeah. You may be a submissive, you may not have a dominant, and you may say, well, you know, I want to submit, I don't have anyone to submit, and I don't feel strong. But yet you handle you go to work, you handle a sick pet, you take care of a family member, you feed yourself, you know, you do the things that you have to do. And that takes a strength of character to do all those things.
And look at you getting into my notes before we're there. But yes, that is exactly that is exactly it. And that's just from a submissive standpoint.
I don't need no stinking notes.
Well, you're getting ahead of me. But that is a perfect example of a classic example of submissives who will say, oh, I know, you know, when you submit, that means you're strong, because isn't that what everybody tells us? But I don't feel strong, so maybe I'm not one. Or they're dealing with maybe a predatory, air quote, dom, who tells them, well, you're not acting like a submissive because you're voicing your opinion. You're not, you know, not wanting to do what I automatically command you to do, or whatever it might be. And so then that internal doubt that many of us walk around with, regardless of your side of the slash, maybe I'm not this thing, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not a good submissive. I think that we use terms more like good or bad or real or not real, when sometimes, if this is where my mind has gone on this topic, if we dig into it, we're talking about strengths that we have. And I think that strengths can sometimes just not even be seen. Like you said, we don't see the best of ourselves most of the time. It actually takes a fairly confident and somebody who's a very introspective person to be able to see those things about ourselves. And if you've been beaten down by life or former relationships or broken hearts and your self-esteem is in like the trash, it's even harder. And if you're walking around with this picture of what you think dominant submission, whatever, is supposed to be, and you don't match that picture, that comes into it as well. Like it's a multi-layered kind of thing. And so I wanted us to talk about some of the strengths that don't get talked about, that don't get recognized, that we don't use that language to describe them.
Gotcha.
So that maybe people will see some of themselves in that and go, hey, wait, no, I am like that. Oh, that's a good thing. Oh, no, I see, you know, and maybe you'll see yourself in a different way. If it helps you help your partner see themselves in a different way. The other thing is, like anything else, if you see parts of yourself in any of what we're talking about, they're skills. I mean, some of it might be a little innate, a little just a bit of who you are, but some of these things can be developed as well. So if you go, oh, I'm kind of lacking in one of the ones on my list is empathy. I'm lacking a little bit of empathy. You can work that muscle. You can get better at that. You know, it might not come easily or naturally to you, but it is something you can improve on. Sure. So that's the thing I think to remember too. If you find any of these traits we're talking about like desirable and you wish you were more like that, I think you can develop them. That's my theory anyway. I do want to sort of say, because it keeps coming to mind, every time I say strength, I like picture muscles. And if we're talking about physical strength, I will tell you I'm a wimpy, wimpy, wimpy kind of person.
I'm here to pump you up.
Exactly. We have to pick up something heavy together, and I'm whining the moment. So I don't count physical strength in this, and yet physical strength certainly has its place, certainly has its uses. And anybody with physical strength will tell you, you have to work very hard to get that. So if we use physical strength as the example, as the model, if you can work muscles and build up that strength, you can build up any of these strengths. But I think what I really want is for people to see themselves as stronger people than they do now, because we don't necessarily talk about these things as strengths.
Well,
so,
you know, I get a good chuckle, because I have had people say to me and gotten comments online that you are not submissive.
Oh, yeah. People tell me all the time I'm not submissive. Fuck you.
Because you speak your mind. You say what's on your mind. You're very passionate about the things you talk about. And they're like, there's no way she's submissive. Well, okay. She may not come across as submissive to you.
And I probably won't ever.
And probably won't ever. There's only one or two other people that you ever react that way to.
Yeah.
Okay. I know who they are.
I do too.
Yeah. But what matters, bottom line, is as strong as you are and as outgoing as you are and as much as you speak your mind, you're submissive to me, which is what matters.
And I'm
you are my submissive. And I'm you're submissive, my baby girl.
I'm submissive in the way you like.
Yes.
So we get a lot of comments from people who are like, oh, I could never be that way with my Dom. How do you get away with that? Well, I'm not getting away with anything. Submissive in the way he likes. So there's a little bit of that too. So let's talk about these different characterizations, these sort of ways of being, and why we think they're strengths. And if you're not noticing them in yourself, or you notice them about yourself and you're like, oh, that's not a strength, let's hopefully disabuse you of that.
Yeah.
I do want to sort of say, because I did just see a comment on the live commenting, that somebody was commenting that all of their submissives are strong and eager, and that is good. And some submissives come into it and they are, and they know who they are, and they've got this, and they're ready to go. And those strengths develop over time as your relationship develops. But some people are single and they can't see it because they don't have that Dom. Some Doms are so new, they don't quite know how to bring that out in their submissive yet. And some relationships are faltering. And if both parties can kind of go, oh, wait, maybe we can work on this, then you can strengthen the whole relationship as well.
Right.
While we're on the strength theme there.
Yeah.
So the first one on my list is empathy. And this is where I start to feel old, because I've always been empathetic. But it only feels like in the past 3 or 4 years, maybe 5, that we've talked about it more. We, meaning society in general, has started to say we need to be more empathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And empathy to me, it's people can define it better than I do. Google is your friend on this one. But for me, empathy is about understanding that other people have viewpoints other than your own, that there are other ways of seeing something, that other people are going to feel things about any given thing, any given moment that you might not experience, but the way they experience it is valid, that we all have our perspectives. They are all different, but they are all valid because they belong to us, and that we don't have to see everything the exact same way or agree on everything the exact same way for those things to be valid. I was thinking about this earlier.
Okay.
I think most of us know this saying, your kink is not my kink, but your kink is okay. Yeah. That is a statement of acceptance, of not kink shaming. That is also an extremely empathetic statement.
Yeah, you're
your
right.
Your kink makes me want to vomit, but you know what? Your kink's still okay because it's okay for you. It doesn't have to be okay for me. That's an example of empathy. It's not the perfect definition. I'm not pretending I have the perfect definition. When you are an empathetic person, that is a strength. It helps you relate to other people. It helps you see other people's perspectives. It can be a great thing to have as a submissive. It is much easier to help your dominant and to help support them and get them through things when you can be empathetic to them. It's a great trait to have as a dominant.
Absolutely.
Because that way, it's not your way or the highway. You're like, okay, how does this affect my submissive? How they're not reacting the way I thought they would. What's their viewpoint? How, you know, what's happening to them in this moment? There's a lot to empathy that I think comes into play in DS.
As a dominant, I think it's very important to be empathetic with someone, because, you know, I've heard from many submissives, My dominant gave me a task. It's a hard set order, and I need to get it done tomorrow. But I've got work. I've got the kids. You know, as a dominant, you have to be understanding. Everybody has lives, especially, you know, if you're long distance.
Oh sure.
You know,
sure.
Especially if you're long distance, everybody has lives, and you have to work that around your DS. Never is a big word, so I'm going to be want to be careful using that. But I don't believe, outside of knowing what your daily routine was, I don't believe I've ever given you a task that said, this absolutely positively has to be done by tomorrow.
I mean, remember you doing that.
In most cases, everything I ever gave you to do, when I gave you a research task or some kind of writing task or anything, I always say, okay, it's Monday, you have till Saturday.
Right. And even the nice thing was, and this is,
you know, in attempt to understand what your day-to-day life is and be realistic about things.
But this is where these things are very nuanced and are threaded into every other facet of our lives, because it wasn't just that you tried to be empathetic. It was that if I knew, it took me a while to figure it out, but I knew if I had gone to you and said, this thing you're asking me to do, this thing you want from me, this mm-hmm. thing we're trying to accomplish, it's not working for me for XYZ reason, right?
Right.
I can't think of a single time that you have ever gone, well, I don't fucking care. This is what we're doing because this is what mm-hmm. I want. I don't care about your perspective. I believe this is right, and so therefore it is right, and it is the only right way. And that's another thing with empathy, is that you understand that it's, your way is not the only way. Right. And so it, you having that ability allowed me to feel comfortable and safe and learn to trust you, mm-hmm. that I could come to you and tell you this isn't working. It might have been difficult for me as a submissive because I want to please and I want to do what you've told me to.
Sure.
But over time, I learned that I could, because you would not come at me as if I was a bad submissive. And you, I would almost say, I don't want to say lack of empathy is a red flag. That's a little too harsh, because there, I've got other thoughts about empathy we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
But I do think that if we have said in the past, a red flag, if you're not sure your dom's a real dom, they're the air quote kind, is when you do bring up a concern and they pretty much tell you that they do not care, because
yeah.
they're supposed to care. It might not change an outcome sometimes after you talk about it and whatever. There's all these different things, that variables mm-hmm. that go into it, but they're supposed to care. I think empathy is very much a gendered thing, and it depends on society and culture. So this might not be true around the whole world, but I know in America especially, girls and women are raised sort of to be empathetic. Well, think about how they'll feel. Be nice. Mm-hmm. That's what we're taught from cradle, practically. And guys who are taught the opposite. So when they show empathy, it's considered a weakness, when in reality, it's a strength.
It's really a strength.
Which is why it is nice to see that the conversation about empathy is becoming more of a global one, and we're talking about it publicly. But I think we kind of had this conversation a little bit as part of our patients conversation last week, where when you get into DS, you kind of have to shed a lot of what you've been taught by society, by your religion, by your parents, by whatever, any part of your upbringing. And I think this would be one of them. I think that there are newer dominants out there who think they're being strong by not backing down, by pushing their submissive. And you can talk about pushing a submissive. I cannot, because I, quite frankly, mm-hmm. I'm the baby girl's like, don't push me, don't push me. just let push. Let me lie here like a lazy lump, okay? Make this easy for me.
I don't think so, Tim.
And there's a difference between pushing, to push limits, to push boundaries, to push a submissive to be more and better and to accomplish your goals. That's a thing. And then there's being so unempathetic that you're not listening and you're harming your submissive. And that is a thing that if your whole life has been spent being told that to be empathetic is a bad thing, that that is a weakness. Mm-hmm. And we're saying it's more of a gendered thing, but that's not always true. I have no doubt there are some people who have gotten the lesson who might not have, been born and raised male, or might not have been born and raised female. Like, these things cross over. There's always variations. Right. But if that's what you've been taught, if you've been taught that listening to somebody else's viewpoint is somehow a weakness, that's going to be something you've got to overcome. And if you've got the stereotype in your head that dominance is getting your way all the time, no matter what, then that's something you're going to have to train yourself out of. And one of those strengths that you can develop is empathy, I think.
Yeah.
I completely off the rails here? Have I lost my fucking mind? I mean, I've lost my mind, but...
Well, that's a whole other topic.
We had me tested.
Yeah.
We know I've lost my mind.
No, you're not incorrect. It's like anything else. You need to exercise that muscle to build it up.
And it's also a communication skill.
Yes. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Definitely communication. I was thinking while you were talking how, as a dominant, getting back just to the general strength topic, if you're a dominant and you're in a power exchange relationship, beyond the sexual aspect, you need to dive in and get to know your submissive.
Oh yeah, deep dive. All right? On that.
You really need to do some deep delving, talking to uncover their strengths. You know,
and for them to uncover yours
as well.
For uncover each other's.
It goes both ways.
Yes,
it goes both ways. When I first was home.
You mean when you started working when, from home full time?
When I started working from home full time.
You're home every day. What?
Yeah. You know, you dropped some things on me that you wanted me to do, and I was sitting there floundering.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And we kind of went round in circles, and now we have it to the point that the way we work things. We work off of each other's strengths,
mm-hmm.
All right? Our strengths are different, so we have learned to meld our strengths
right.
So that you handle one aspect, I handle another aspect, and it all just goes round and round.
Right, and I think that's another part of the general aspect of strength in submission, in dominance, in DS, the strength of your relationship is exactly that. As you get to know each other and you don't have to work with each other 24/7 the way we
no.
do. Just getting to know each other on your power exchange,
mm-hmm.
bedroom only, 24/7, however you do
right.
it, you learn about each other. You learn about yourself in the process. That's a
sure.
given. That's not just for this topic. But you learn about each other, and then you can play off of those strengths. And you know,
mm-hmm.
oh, they can handle that, and maybe that's not something I can do. And I can do this. Where that's not a thing that they're good at or that, you know, they're interested
right.
in. So how can we fit this and make sure these things complement each other? And I think that still goes back to empathy, because you have to be willing to understand that there's another viewpoint, that somebody else is looking at the same situation through totally different eyes and a totally different experience, and they're seeing it differently. And you might not completely understand it, but you're willing to accept it. You're willing to listen
mm-hmm.
to it. As a dominant, you're willing to take in that information and factor it into the decisions you make.
Correct.
Like, it's absolutely a strength. Regardless of gender, regardless of sexuality, regardless of the type of power exchange you have, if you can be empathetic to your partner, then you can do more. You can be more sensitive to their needs. You can, I mean, like, it just, it takes the top level. Here's this kinky thing we do, and you get so many more nuances out of it, and it gets so much subtler, and it can just, like, it'll blow your mind the amount of things you can do once
sure.
you start understanding that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't feel like you're good at it, maybe you are fighting against the way you were taught that you're supposed to be. It is a skill, and it takes time. Do some reading,
right.
do some listening, do some asking. You know, educate yourself on it and practice with a partner that you feel safe with.
Mm-hmm.
And say, can you tell me when you don't think I'm being very empathetic? Can we like help me out here? And I think that is absolutely a strength that's necessary. It certainly makes relationships better anytime you can be. And it's easier to be empathetic with somebody you care about. It's way harder to be empathetic to a total stranger, especially a faceless stranger on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to Twitter for 5 minutes to know that.
and
a lot of us are more empathetic with the people that we care about. It's just a natural
right.
part of it. But in a power exchange, especially with a dominant, where you might have the false notion that you are supposed to not care. Let's just say that that's not true. The next one actually was part of the discussion we were planning last week's episode.
Mm.
So last week in episode 161, we talked about patience, which is a very weird thing for me to talk about because I am still not a patient person. I'm trying to develop that muscle.
You are doing better.
Because I fake it really well. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did.
But patience is a strength. To me,
sure.
it is a strength. If you are just a patient person in general, you really might not even understand what I'm saying here. But if you think about it, it'll make sense. So I'm going to use the dominant as an example, because dominants stereotypically known for being more patient. The strength of that
mm-hmm.
is that the patient dominant will not let their overeager sub-frenzy submissive race into too much stuff at once. And they will pull them back and go, no,
yeah.
we're going to go slower. On a pleasurable level, patience from the one in charge prolongs the, sometimes it's agony, sometimes it's blissful, agony, wonderful. It's going to, well, it's going to be good when we get to the end, right? But you, I mean, patient doms prolong a scene. And they stretch out all of the experiences so that the culmination, whatever it might be, is bigger and better than it could be. Mm-hmm. Whereas if, you know, from an impatient, submissive perspective, I'm like, no, 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 give it to me now. Give it to me now. Right. And I know I'm not alone with that. I've had way too many conversations with impatient submissives. So that is a strength on two levels. There's the pleasure strength of I'm going to make this good for you. I'm going to make this scene really good for both of us. But we're going to do this at my pace and we're not going to go too fast. From a relationship standpoint, patience allows you to develop things in a more natural way, in a way that fit who you are, that don't make you feel overwhelmed, that don't become one of those things where you feel like maybe this isn't working, like we talked about last week, where you tried to do too much, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that patience gets celebrated as a strength. I mean, good Lord, we spent a whole hour plus talking about it last week. It's a skill.
It is.
But it is, it's hard to be patient. And to me, that's another way where I can go, oh, you're strong because you're patient. That's a strength because it is difficult. It is difficult to wait when you want a thing or when you're worried that if you don't act right now, you're going to miss out on a thing. And to have that sense of, I'm going to wait, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to pull back, I'm going to watch, I'm going to whatever, and I'm not going to rush into, and this is life stuff, this isn't just DS stuff. I'll give you a total non-kinky example of this. We've been talking about it for months now. We're moving this summer.
Right.
It is the weirdest juggling act jigsaw puzzle I've ever put together in my life, trying to get the steps of what we need to do when and how in order, because you can't do this step till you've done that step, right? So I'm in panic mode about it. I want everything to be settled. I want to know what's happening. Well, it's too early out for that. Mm-hmm. You cannot look for a house to rent in January when you're not going to rent till June. It just doesn't work that way. So
good luck with that.
Right, exactly. So I've been just killing myself every night going down these rabbit holes of rental properties and looking at things and coming up with plans. And I was about to have us jump into the most convoluted, complicated plan that would have cost us several hundred dollars more per month for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I finally went, what am I doing? What are we doing? And Tim Brownstone is a good man. He knows I'm smart enough. If he just lets me run down that road and gives me all the room on the leash, I'll yank myself back.
And that's exactly exactly what I did. You know, the things you were talking about, are they good ideas? Yes, absolutely.
But should we be doing them in January?
Are they good for us at this particular moment?
No.
No.
So that's the thing. With patience, that's not a strength of mine. I'm working on it. I'm developing it. It's getting better. But I will rush into things that would be consequential for us for a long time. We'd have to deal with the ramifications of those things. So,
and me, I just sit back in those times and
just lets me go and
watch
spin.
Her go.
I know. It's like the leash is 25 feet and I and at the 25th feet I yank back.
She yanks back and then she comes like, oh, nice to have you back again.
I know. He doesn't have to do anything. He's the dog walker standing 25 feet away, just holding that retractable leash. And he waits for me to walk back to him. That sounds way kinkier than it is. It's just
Zip the leash in.
Right. And then we made a decision. And I made the commitment last night, because I am trying to be better with patience, to be patient. And I like said it out loud, so that makes it true. So let's move on, because we do have an entire episode about patience that if anybody's interested, you can go listen to or watch.
Right.
The next strength, I think a lot of people would agree on this one, but we don't talk about it as a strength. So that's why I mention it. And that's integrity. Doing the hard thing when nobody's looking. Earning trust. Yeah. Being honest. Being an upstanding human being who treats other people with compassion and decency, and basically you're not a fucking asshole, right? Like, you can be an asshole and still have integrity, but not usually. It's hard when those two combine. For me, the way I always think of integrity is, will I do what I think is the right thing to do, even when nobody's watching, even if I couldn't get caught, right? Will I do that really dishonest thing that'll make me feel guilty for the rest of my life, but nobody else would ever know I did it? I'm the dork who would go, yeah, no, my personal integrity means I have to do something and I can't be dishonest about it, even if I can't get caught. I think we probably all have a slightly personal definition of what integrity means. I think most of us would say it's honesty, it's trust, it's those sort of things you need to develop a healthy DS relationship, to be able to have a kink scene and have people want to come back to you and top or bottom for you. I think we all recognize the importance of integrity, but I don't think we think of it in terms of a strength. It is hard. There are societal pressures, there's family pressures, there's financial pressures that would say, well, I could take this easy way out and it would make my life easier, so why don't I take this easy way out? Now, in the process, you're killing trust, you're hurting relationships, you're doing all these other things. And some people aren't taught that. Some people are taught that and reject it. In DS specifically, we see people who lie to one another all the time, you know, and then they wonder why they don't have this healthy DS relationship that they would like. Well, honey,
you're lying to each other. Or they can't find a partner to play with.
Right. Oh, we see that in our local community.
Yes.
There's a couple of people that just sort of run through partners because that partner plays with them that one time and goes, oh, no, this person's a liar. This person's like, ooh.
I think that's a common occurrence.
That I'm sure that is.
In most communities, unfortunately.
Because they can't be trusted. They can't be trusted with safe words. They can't be trusted with limits. They can't be trusted. Mm-hmm. And so they get one session out of everybody and they can't ever repeat it because thankfully, and I know a lot of women will understand this, female sub plays with male dom. Male dom's sketchy. And they finally take that female sub to the side and go, let me just tell you what I know about this person. And it might take a while sometimes, but then the cycle, it's toxic. It's bad.
Yeah.
So integrity is absolutely a strength. Your integrity with your partner, your integrity with the community. Mm-hmm. You know, there it's not easy to have integrity sometimes because sometimes the easy way is the way where you skirt the rules. You are a little dishonest. Who's gonna know?
Well, you know, there's the who's gonna know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you get into a situation, you know, I can skate by on this. No one's here, no one's watching, who's gonna know?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You never really know who is watching.
And it's easy when you decide to put integrity to the side to make that decision once, and then it's easier to make it a second time. And then eventually you're making decisions that some people might look back and go, I'm not this person, what am I doing? Hopefully if they get a moment of clarity. Because once you go down that path, it's easier to keep going down that path.
Right.
And then eventually you're making decisions left and right that hurt people and you're justifying it to yourself. Frankly, I believe the vast majority of the BDSM community has some level of integrity. If you're looking at a person who maintains honest, decent relationships, they've got some level of integrity. We all fuck up. I have been tempted, not in our relationship. I will not lie. I have been tempted to not say something. I've never followed through with that. I've always eventually like just admitted it and then found out I was worried over nothing. Like it was not a big deal at all. I've been tempted. I think we all get tempted. And I think sometimes we slip. I think sometimes we do slip up and we lie about something.
Nobody's
human.
Nobody's perfect. We're human.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's what you do over and over again. It's what you accept from yourself and then what you accept from other partners.
Right.
And if you get to a point where you've accepted so many little lies, they were harmless, they didn't mean it from you, eventually you might not even be conscious of this. You cannot trust them. Because once you know somebody will lie to you about all these things, little meaningless or not, what else will they lie to you about? And because trust is so important to the power exchange, to the extreme ways we play with pain and pleasure and tying somebody up and hitting somebody and all the things that we do in kink, when you come across a person that has a strong sense of integrity, that is something to celebrate. It is not always easy, because sometimes the person with integrity will say, no, I'm not going to do this thing. Like, you're like, but it'll be okay. No, my personal sense of integrity says I cannot do that. I cannot allow that.
Right.
I know that there are people who think I'm an absolute prude because if there's any alcohol anywhere, I don't go to community events that even have alcohol if I can help it. Like, that's me. That's my choice to make. That's not about being a good person, but that is my personal integrity of, I'm not going to let alcohol touch my lips and be in a BDSM thing because I might slip up and I might make some bad decisions that I'm not proud of later.
Well, I may be called old school because
you probably are.
I will not play if I have been drinking.
That's more common. I'm the weird one that's like, no, I'm not even going to be near it. It's not happening.
I will not play if I've been drinking. I will not play with someone who has been drinking.
Oh yeah, no, that would never happen. Not if I know about it.
Now, our community has a drinking time social.
Mm-hmm.
Once a month, there's a local bar. Bunch of people meet up. I do go, but it's a social time. There is no...
Right, but this is me knowing myself. You put a little liquor in me, I lose a lot of inhibitions. I'll dance on a table. I will... I'll do all kinds of stuff. It can be fun. I know, you should take me out drinking more often.
Yeah.
But I will also say things that my inner censor would normally tell me this is not the right time to say that thing.
Yeah, I will never forget that time... Not this past Christmas, the Christmas before. Uh-huh.
Which one was that?
Christmas 2017.
Well, the year doesn't mean anything. Where were we? What were we doing?
We were here at the house.
Oh, we were here at the house. That's
we were drinking. We were having a good old time. And we were watching Christmas shows on TV.
I ruined all this Christmas.
And you just ripped them to shreds and trashed my childhood memories.
I know, because I was at home where I was safe. But that's the thing. I lose my... So I'll say things. I would never normally say sober. Like, I can control myself. And the last thing I'm going to do in a public space with a bunch of other kinksters is get drunk. Because you know who's going to be outing everybody in this space? That would probably be me. Like, you, not on purpose,
you'll
but...
You'll be the designated driver.
Right. Well, I just won't go. And that's my fear, because that's a public trust you have with the community, is to not fucking out anybody. Yeah. And I know how I get, so that's why... That sounds nuts. I know that. I understand. Most people are like, I wouldn't be that way. Good on you. Yeah. I know how I am. But maybe I should, so I can dance on tables, because that is fun. And I only do it when I've been drinking. Okay, we're going to move past integrity. Yep. I think the vast majority of everybody gets the integrity thing because we understand about trust and honesty in BDSM. This last one, people do not think of as a strength. And it's a conversation I actually tend to have in the writing community more than I have in the kink community. But is this ability to do a thing even though you're afraid? So we tend to think of bravery, like... You know, not being afraid of something. That's how we describe bravery. Well, in my mind, that's not bravery. Bravery is, and I'm not the first one to say this. I have.
Well, some people would say that the definition of bravery is the absence of fear.
Right. That's what people think. Not everybody, but a lot of people. My definition that I got from somebody else, I did not come up with this, is that bravery is doing the thing even though you're scared of it.
Right.
Okay. It's moving forward through the fear, knowing what the risks are, knowing how bad it could go, and doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And my personal little add-on to that is that you don't have to be brave forever. You have to be brave for the 30 seconds it takes to commit to the action.
Yeah.
So in a DS relationship, I'm personally a prime example of this. Was terrified to be in a relationship. We have talked about this a million times now, 162 probably, where kept John Brownstone on the hook for 4 months before I'd commit to anything, told myself that we weren't really in a relationship. Yeah, like all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the day, but I remember the feeling. I remember the feeling that where I finally had the conversation with myself of, this might not work out. You might get your heart broken. You know, this may end in all of the things that you were terrified of, but it's too important. And like at that point, it took me 4 months, but at that point I was like, I'm not letting this dude go. I want the happiness I'm feeling. I want all the good stuff, even though I'm terrified of it. So I didn't I didn't stay brave the whole time. I committed to admitting my feelings to him. And I was terrified right. when I did it. But that happened. That was still true. And then every day I recommitted for easily 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month. Every day I'd wake up and go, you know, this could end at any point. Enjoy it while you can. That was the thing I said to myself. And I'm not saying I think I'm somehow strong. What I'm saying is for all of the people out there, Dom, Sub, I don't care where you're at on the spectrum. When you're afraid to do a thing, you are afraid as a Dom to take control because you don't know what it means. You don't even know what it says about you. You don't, but you know that it feels right. And you know, this is what you've both agreed on. And you make that step forward anyway. That's a strength, that ability to move through fear. It is not a strength we all possess. It is not a, it is one we can all cultivate. People with anxiety, I am one of them, will say that that is, that's the hardest part because your mind will get so geared up into the what if, what if, what if, you are almost paralyzed. You can't move forward. Everything I've personally experienced with my own anxiety, generalized and social, and read about says that the best way outside of panic attacks and anxiety attacks that literally like stop your body from functioning properly, the best way to deal with anxiety is to move forward in that fear.
Yeah.
If you can, because what you have to do is you have to teach yourself that that fear that's in your head is not likely to happen. And those of us, whether you're anxious because you've been diagnosed or you're just a worrier, everybody gets anxiety at some point. Everybody's afraid of something at some point. If you've worked through everything you can to decide that this is potentially a good decision. Like you've done your research, you've talked to the person, you've spent the time, you've done everything that you can possibly do to come up with the information, the right information you need. The only thing left to do is to decide yes or no, forward or no, you know, whatever. And when you're afraid and you've got all that information in your head, it's up to you. It's always up to you. But if all the information is saying this is this potential here, this could work. It's a type of strength to go, okay, I'm terrified. I'm ready to throw up. I'm sweating bullets.
I mean, fear,
here we go anyway.
Fear is a very valid emotion.
Absolutely. It's powerful.
It's powerful because it is built into us as humans for self-preservation.
Sure.
You know, that's how throughout history, you know, the human race has technically survived. You know, you get that fear, so you buckle down
right.
to survive. And, you know, it's good to have fear. The absence of fear is a scary thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a wonder about you if you're never afraid of anything. I'm just saying.
But at the same time, I've said this to people before, you cannot let your fear paralyze you.
And it can, especially those of us who do have anxiety disorders.
True.
And it can be a thing that physically stops us. And it's only through therapy or medication or something that we've learned how to work through it. I also want to make clear, especially if you're somebody who suffers from some level of anxiety, I'm not saying you're a weak person because you can't make that leap yet. You're not there. I will say if you find that you are paralyzed by things that terrify you, if you are not getting some level of medical professional help, I encourage you to the moment you can, because while my anxiety has never fully gone away, God knows it's now I'm an anxious mess most of the time. The things I've learned to help me deal with my anxiety, and that's a very personal thing, have allowed me to move forward and do things that terrify me.
Right.
Work for myself, be submissive, all kinds of stuff.
There have been many times you have been holding back, going somewhere, doing something.
Yeah.
And I have, as your daddy, I have pushed you. And
sometimes that's what I need is the push.
And sometimes you do need that push. But then when you finally get there, you're like, this isn't so bad after all.
My fears are unfounded. And that's the other thing. A lot of our anxieties is our brain lying to us. So my point is, if you are not this type of person yet, and you want to be, it's a thing to develop. It's a skill to develop. You have to do it on the way I say I think you need to do is you do it on really small things. Because a lot of people I know who get anxious, again, whether it's a clinical thing or you're just kind of a worrier, if we can rationalize what the worst case scenario is and it doesn't end in death, destruction, or fire, it's a little bit easier to move forward. Like, if I just pick the purple shirt over the blue one, right? Like, that's not a catastrophic decision, right? And you start with those small decisions of just moving forward and making a decision. The big ones do become easier. Again, seek medical professional help where you need it. But I use this as a strength because I talk to a lot of people, both sides of the slash, dom and sub, who say, you know, I agreed to that relationship. I committed to that relationship and it failed and I was an idiot and I shouldn't have done that. No, you weren't. Were there things that now you know in retrospect that you wouldn't put up with that you would do differently? Of course, because everything's a learning experience. But did you make a leap of faith and do something even though it scared you because you decided in that moment with the information I have, it's worth it. I want this enough. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to give my all. That is a strength. Not everybody possesses that strength.
No.
More people could if that was something they wanted to work on or if they start working on it, they become more introspective. Yes. But that is a strength. I will tell you, I don't always have that strength. The amount of time it takes me to learn to trust somebody or something in order to commit to doing it, I lose all kinds of time. Now, I then have the opposite strength of once I've decided I trust a thing or somebody, when it's a bad decision, I let them run roughshod over me way too fucking long. I've kept friendships that way. I've kept clients that way. Like I took all that time, more time than I needed to make a decision because I don't trust anybody and I wasn't willing to make that leap of faith. By the time I'm there, now I'm committed. And thankfully, that's worked out well with John Brownstone. But I've got past friendships where I gave them way too much of myself because, well, they had earned my trust. Because then I wasn't willing and strong enough to make the reverse leap of get the fuck out because this person is detrimental to you and they are not helping you at all. They're making things worse for you and they do not deserve this trust you've placed in them. But if you're a person who can go, you know what? I've had my heart broken and I'm going to love again. That's a strength. That is absolutely a strength. If you're a person who's like, I don't have every single iota of information, but I'm going to go with my instinct. That's a strength. Just because things don't always work out the way we want them to or think they will doesn't mean it was always a bad decision to do it. So being willing to make those decisions and not get stuck in life, I have spent many, 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 many years of my life quite stuck. I call that a strength. I admire that in people. I don't always understand it. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, you are a different kind of person because I could not be that way. But my empathy goes, clearly there's some part of you that's your way of doing it and cool, what can I learn from you? Because I don't have this ability. So I do see that as a strength because I find it lacking in myself. Now, some people will probably kindly point out of all the other things I do, those things only scared me until I started doing them. So I do know, I sort of where I speak, like when something scares you, if you can get yourself to do it, you will be less scared of it.
Yeah.
But I know that that's not my natural inclination, that I am a worrier and I hang back and everybody else has gone forward and is doing it, has been doing it 6 months. And I'm like, you know, maybe I'll try it. Like, I can't even do trends for the same reason. Like, trend is over 2 years. I'm like, well, maybe it's something that I should look into. So I do. I think that being able to move through fear is a type of strength. Is it the only strength there is? Of course not. Does it say something about you if you don't have that strength? No, I don't necessarily have that strength. It's just we all have different strengths. We all have weaknesses. Right. And it's about who we want to be and what we want to work on to improve ourselves. So I work quite heavily on my anxiety levels because I do want to be a person who does that thing even though she's scared. And I don't want my brain to take over and to spin out of control and to lead me into panic attacks and make it so I can't leave the fucking house. I've had all of that. And I know what it's like to live that way, and that's not what I want. So I choose to work on that to try to develop that strength. Just because all of these things are strengths, you don't have to have all of them. And you're not a bad dominant or submissive if you lack in some of these areas.
Yeah.
And I will put this out to YouTube watchers and podcast listeners. there are other things that could easily be considered a strength. So I challenge you, if you're on YouTube, comment below. If you're on the podcast, shout us out wherever. Email us if you want to keep it private. What else do you think is an underrated strength?
Yeah.
What else out there are we not talking about that absolutely point to some internal strength we have that helps us have healthier relationships, be better partners, have a better kink experience, live better lives, whatever.
Just be better of yourself.
Just be a better human being. Yeah. Right. Like, this is not the end all be all. Empathy, patience, integrity, and moving through fear, that's only a few of them. That's only a few. So what comes to your mind when you think about strength of character or of a person, especially interacting with the relationships? Please, 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 like I said, on YouTube, comment below, listen on the podcast, shout us out wherever, or email us, because I know some people are like, I really want to tell you a thing, but I don't want to say it publicly. Cool. Well, totally get that. Yeah. Respect it. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
I know. It's a weird topic. Like, I can't get my arms around it to say this is, I can't be concise with it. I can't say this is exactly what this means. But I do think it's just another way of looking at how we behave as people individually and within relationships and where we can be better with each other in order to have healthier relationships.
It's like an onion. It's just another layer.
I'm going to start quoting Shrek here. And I will, but I don't want to. So we do have a bonus section.
Yeah.
And we have mail.
Yep.
So yay, we're going to do that next. If you're on the live stream, yeah, this is where it gets like, woo. So yeah. Okay.
All right. We good?
As good as we are ever going to be.
Ever going to be. Yeah. All right. Well, at that note,
keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. So since we're live and there's a camera on my face, can I keep talking, Daddy? Please and thank you. What? I love you. I love you so much.
I love you too, baby girl. But when don't you not talk?
Not even when I'm sleeping, because I'm pretty sure I'm talking in my sleep. I'm definitely talking in my dreams. Very vivid dreams. I'm always talking. There's probably a chance I'm talking in my sleep too. Most definitely a chance I'm talking in my sleep.
Well, let's
okay.
Let's
so,
talk to the crickets.
For podcast listeners who were like, "What is that clinking sound?" I just want to point out for everybody: definitely have the coffee.
It's our glasses.
I'm using my smaller cup, but it's my mermaid cup because my mermaid cup makes me happy. I actually have two mermaid cups I have a hot coffee cup with a mermaid on it. I have an iced coffee cup with a mermaid on it, and that was my Christmas present from John Brownstone.
Yeah.
And I love them. I know. I'm going through a major mermaid period. There is a subscription box called Mermaidful. It's like, I want it. I want it so bad. I don't have it.
You're going through a mermaid submersion.
Something like that. I have two different, let's put it this way. I have two different Pinterest accounts. I have the vanilla account, so it's safe to show the lady who does my nails, these are the nails I want. And then the kink Pinterest account. I have mermaid boards on each because I'm weird. So I want to get into the mail because now I have not, as of the recording, so during the live stream, I have not taken pictures of these yet to put on Instagram or Twitter. Mm-hmm. So if you're a podcast listener, look out for that. This one came last week and I love it. You love it too. But then it got buried in my purse and we didn't do it for the episode last week. I feel awful. So...
Well, I love it for the vintage postcard pinup.
Well, I'm going to get to that. So, this is from Lauren, and I believe Lauren gave another name, but I'm awful with some handwriting, so I think that might say... What do you think that, Lauren Ann? Exactly. So, Lauren, like...
Sorry.
So, like, could you just email me, tweet me something, and... Because I want to get it right. Because this is awesome. So, Lauren sent us a postcard that says, "Hi, Kayla and John. We took our belated honeymoon to my hometown of New Orleans to visit family." Oh, I love New Orleans. Saw this card and I thought of you. Maybe you could... Card and a little gift. And this said, maybe you could fit an espresso in it. It is a purple sparkly... words are escaping me.
I want to say decanter, but that's not the right
term either. Flask. And we could put espresso in it, but I'm going to tell you right now, my first thought was I'll put me some Bailey's in this and make Starbucks a really good trip.
Perfect for that time when you need just a quick shot.
Just a little bit. And the postcard, it's probably hard to see because we're so far away from the camera for the live stream, is very much sort of the New Orleans. It's not a pinup, but it's kind of a pinup. And yeah, this is so cool. I'm not describing it well, and I'm not doing it justice at all.
Yeah, and I can't.
And actually, the postcard comes from the Iron Horse Hotel in Wisconsin, which it's funny is located on Florida Street.
Oh,
I like that. So this is like a saloon girl.
Yes.
Thank you. That was the word. God, ballroom. We suck at this. Mm-hmm. And it is a sultry, cool looking postcard. So if you want to get a better peek at it, YouTube people and podcast.
We used all our words through the topic.
We did.
Now we're struggling for words.
But if you want to get a closer peek, then follow us on social and you get to. And then, the flask with the fleur-de-lis on it, which is totally a New Orleans thing. And I love it. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure if I pop that on my keychain, because it's a keychain, somebody's going to think I have the good stuff in there. This postcard came from Baby Frog and Arkansas. Said, Kayla, I saw this purple dress and thought of you. I love it that people see purple and think of me. Hope it makes your baby girl side smile. It did. Loving the show. Keep up the excellent work. You both are the best.
I love it because it's a classic pinup.
It's a classic pinup. See, this is where my words were like, I was losing out on words because it was like, that's a pinup, but that's not. I mean, y'all, I appreciate the mail, and I feel like this is where I flounder and fail every time. Like, I suck at this, and I am so genuinely excited, and I suck at it. But we do appreciate it, and we love it, and thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that even though technically these two postcards are completely different, they have absolutely the same kind of energy to them.
Yes.
Sexy, sultry, pinup-y kind of style. Yeah, totally.
And fun.
Totally our jam.
Yep.
What else? We've just been working.
We've just been working.
So there's nothing really to say. I mean, we say that all the time. Y'all know. We've been working. We're still working. Okay, good.
I mean, we have been grinding through and working to finalize the plans for how we're going to flow in the next few months.
You know how I said earlier in the episode, we're trying to piece together this move as juggling and a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did take one step. We printed out some blank calendars and literally mapped out the next 3 months of what we need to do. So that calmed my head a lot after that. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I don't have to think about what we're doing in April. We've written it down and I just have to focus on what we're doing in February now.
Right.
That's going along. I don't feel like I have a lot for this bonus section, partly because we were not right this second, but today or tomorrow we will be recording our bonus section for
the Patreon.
And so we talk more about businessy stuff there anyway, plans for the future and everything, but it's like nothing cool happened other than the great mail we got. Mm-hmm. I'm not forgetting anything, am I?
No.
Both our kids got honor roll for last semester in school. We're very proud of them. They both were like, do we have to go to this stupid awards ceremony? And I was like, yes, by God in hell, we're getting these damn little laminated certificates that will then get thrown away next year. Yes, we are. No, I'm not keeping anything permanent until it's high school. Because high school is that step right before they like move out. Like that's... like, whatever they do in third grade, nobody's going to remember what they did in third grade. So, yeah. So, we were parents.
Except for the youngest.
Oh, he remembers everything.
Right.
Like a steel trap. And he'll tell you why he was afraid of it. He's also anxious like his mother. I don't know how that happened.
We're doing that. Going into February, we're kind of starting to look ahead to London.
The London trip. Yeah. Okay. So I will tell y'all this, and I know this doesn't, might not mean as much, but y'all are my peeps and I can tell y'all things. So last year before London, literally 6 months out, every single morning that I took a shower, I take showers every morning, by the way, every single morning in the shower, I was practicing to myself, talking to myself about the presentation I was going to give. I was so terrified I was going to get up there and stumble over all my words, you know, like I do on the podcast every week.
I would hear her when she started this. I'd hear her talking, and I'd be like, who the hell is she talking to in the shower?
Yes.
So it took me a couple things. You know, the first time I heard it, I walk in there, I'm like, what are you doing?
I know. And see, as a chronic talker to myself for my whole life since I could start talking, I learned very early, as many of us do who talk to ourselves, that that's not like socially acceptable. So you stop talking. I don't know what you're talking about. Finally, I admitted to him, I'm fucking practicing in here until the water goes cold. Could you just give me a minute? So I did that for 6 months because I was so nervous. I was so scared. I hadn't done public speaking in ages at that point. It had been like 5 or 6 years. So this year, I'm speaking again in London. It's exciting. I cannot wait. Eroticon is so much fun. I have not been practicing that way, which means I will definitely stumble over my words. And it's going to be like every second album that comes out from a group you love. That first album was amazing. The second album, you're like, no, they missed the mark on that one. This will probably be like that. Because I haven't had as much time. I've had other things in my mind. My shower time has been spent on other things. So I'm not practicing at the same like intense, anxious level. But also, I'm still having other conversations. But now that we're getting closer, there was the point to all this. That's why this is a bonus section.
I've been waiting for it to start.
That's why it's a bonus section, so I can ramble. now that we're getting closer to London, and I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, I got to start like dealing with stuff and my schedule and getting work done and packing and like all these things, I'm like freaking out. So I'm practicing more. And even though if I just tell him, as I'm telling you now, when you hear me whispering in the shower, I'm practicing my presentation.
Well, now I know.
But every time he walks in, I stop. Like, and I cannot be alone. Anybody else out there who talks to themselves, like chronically talks to themselves, please tell me I'm not alone.
Now I just sit and listen with an ear to the door.
Well, and that's fine. But here's what will happen if you do that. You'll be at the back of the room during my presentation and go, no, you said it differently last week.
Right?
That's not really what you mean. But I need some validation here. Anybody who talks to themselves, like I don't talk out loud, like in the volume I'm speaking to you guys, I whisper. Like I keep it really quiet because I'm trying to make sure nobody hears me because my whole life since I learned to speak, I've been talking to myself. I have some of the best conversations with myself. I figure shit out on my own. And the things I can't say to a person who pisses me off, I can say in the shower where nobody can hear me. The car is the other place, but I don't have as long a commute anymore. And I listen to podcasts now. Before we moved in together to get to my old office job, it was like a 45-minute commute one way. And we just had the radio podcast. What? Listening to a podcast on your phone in your car. What? Somebody did it, but I was too broke for all that shit. So I did not. I was not one of them. So I listened to the radio and I would turn it down so I could have conversations with myself. And I know, especially when I get stuck in traffic where we weren't moving and we were on the highway, whoever was next to me in the next lane was like, what? Who is that crazy bitch talking to? Talking to one of the smartest people I know. I was talking to the person I know I can trust. I was talking to me. I have finished arguments that way. I have said witty, pithy, fuck you things that way that I can never say to the person because I can't. I've solved world peace, quite frankly, if we would just do what I come up with in my car. But now there's no commute. I only drive 15 minutes to drop a kid off at school. I'm listening to my podcast on the way out. So it's the shower until the hot water runs out. I have come out of the shower teeth chattering because I stayed in there too long. But I had to work through that thing. So I basically just need somebody to tell me I'm not alone. That's really what I need. I need validation. So if I could get that, that'd be great. But no, we're just goofy and, I've gone through some health things, but I always go through health things, so that's boring to talk about. And we've been working, but we always work, so that's boring to talk about. And God knows, eventually, if you're not already, you're going to be very tired of hearing about this damn move that has not happened yet, but we've been talking about it for 7 months. it's same old, same old.
Pretty much, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No, not a bad thing at all. So I guess that's it for us.
Yeah.
So we should probably like say goodbye.
Let everybody go on about their day, evening,
and
morning.
Anybody who has come across us on YouTube who is like, who are these crazy people? This is who we are. This is what we're like all the time.
There's one already.
Oh, we've got all kinds of people.
Yes.
I don't want to shout anybody out by name because I don't want to like kill anybody's anonymity, but we do see you. Yep. If you listen on the podcast, we're sorry about Spotify. If you watch on YouTube, Yeah, this is what we're always like. Mm-hmm. If you are like, what are they talking about with their t-shirts? We mentioned that at the very top. Podcast listeners, you need to go check out the YouTube video. Even for just a second, so right. You can see the t-shirts. I know.
Yeah.
I can't adult today. It's too hard. But I'm gonna go adult now.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. We're done.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Yep. Love you, mean it.